It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth. Today we're talking about summer travel planning, which if you live in Anchorage or elsewhere in South Central Alaska, it's kind of a two-way street. You're thinking about getting out of here. How can you get a good deal on a ticket, get some mileage, go somewhere warm, enjoy the summer? And it also goes the other way. How do you get out of here before all your relatives show up? If you're like me, you've gone around through life saying, hey, yeah, we live in Alaska, you should come see us sometime. And then at some point you realize you really shouldn't say that right so much, right? Because the people who take you up on it aren't always the ones who want to take you up on it. So we're going to talk about having friends and relatives come and what to do with them. I want to get a few horror stories in there. We're going to kind of have some fun today with our guests and also give you some good advice about what are the great things to do in Alaska. And we're also going to get into a bit about the travel industry and what the outlook is for that important part of our economy. So that's the topic today on Hometown Alaska. I've got two guests in the studio. Scott McMurrin, the Alaska Travel Graham, is well-known to listeners who hear his show on KOAN on Saturdays, and also has been a guest here many times. Thanks for being with us, Scott.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Charles.
And you do the column in the newspaper, too.
I do. It's like almost deja vu all over again. I did, then I was just writing for the Dispatch, and the Dispatch kind of, you know, ate the news. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I'm back in print again. It's remarkable.
So Scott's opinions are easy to get, but he's also a really fun conversationalist. So we're really glad to have him today. And Jack Bonney is with Visit Anchorage, which is what used to be called ACVB.
You've got it. Yep.
Right.
We run the visitor centers downtown and at the airport.
Mm-hmm. And you are sort of selling Anchorage.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I guess you could say that it's my job to talk people into coming up and visiting their relatives in some cases.
Yeah, that's right. So I wanted to start out with this topic, thinking about how trips, visits, can, unexpected or expected or planned visits, can be great, and they could also be not so great. And part of it is because, of course, your family will come and visit, and you're always happy to see them, but you're still working. And they're on vacation, unless you just drop your work. And then you're in this position of like planning everything, trying to entertain them and also get your work done. And you're doing conference calls while showing off the tourniquet arm and whatever else. And I had a trip. This is long enough ago that I can laugh about it. But had a bunch of family coming up. We probably had 12 people. And I was writing travel books at the time. And I said, what would be the best, coolest Alaska trip we could do? And I lined this thing up going to Gustavus, staying at the beautiful Gustavus Inn, going mm-hmm. to Juneau, going down the ferry, and it would have been a great trip, you know, and it was costing us all a fortune, you know, but I said, it's the best of everything. Except that, like, the first day of the trip, the first person gets hit with norovirus. Puking. And then that person gets better, and then the second day of the trip, somebody else has got it. And so instead of everybody getting sick at once, we all did it one at a time, and it was like my fault, right? Because I set all this up and everything that went, you know. And so all this pressure, and my memory of this is my cousin, who is a huge seafood fan. He just loves seafood, and we're at the Gustavus Inn where they have the best food you've ever had, and his very favorite food is crab, and they bring this huge platter of Dungeness crab, all you can eat, to the table, and he just looks at it, sort of turns green, and gets up and leaves the table.
Oh. I hope this isn't going to be the whole theme about getting sick while traveling, because now I'm thinking about all the times that the kids threw up in the car, you know. It's like we had to pull over, everybody get out, we had to take the seat out, wash it down.
I've got plenty
of those stories. I mean, it's just part of life. I mean, it was really sad. I felt so bad for number two son. There were mm-hmm. seven of us. In fact, we were coming back from Kennecott. And we stopped at the fair. We stopped at the fair, and you know, he was so excited that he just ate all the about eight hot dogs and 12 bags of popcorn and 16 things of cotton candy.
Is a wonderful thing for the stomach.
And you know, it was just, you know, just nature took its course. It was so sad, and you know, actually just thinking about that, I have stories on the airplane where
I know
things just
so many. We just could fill the whole show up with it. And one of the things you learn as a parent, at first you think, hey, just keep feeding them, they'll shut up, right? But then you get, it goes back at you, yeah.
Oh, they ended up pulling the seats, in this particular one, pulling the seats off the webbing and tying them in the garbage bags and taking them in the back, you know, and well, thank goodness it wasn't a completely full flight. I'm not going to share the details, actually. But let's just, you know.
Jack, do you have a do you have a story about, I know your job is to encourage everybody. You don't want to, but we're putting you on the spot here.
Well, here's my, you know, I've got to say for the record that my travels with my relatives up here, I've been a really charmed life. But I will say that, you know, you're talking to a guy who night and day, bread and butter, is talking about Alaska, telling people how to get from A to B, how to make the most of their trip. Well, my father-in-law has his own plane, and so he'll fly up in the summer times. And a couple of years ago, we actually made the mistake of buying him one of those really, really nice, comprehensive geographic atlases of Alaska. Now, the trouble with this is it now comes with him every single time he flies up. And for a guy who spends his entire day trying to connect people with the things that they want to do in Alaska, to have somebody sit there and say, how do you think the fishing is in this lake? Mm-hmm. A lot of times he's picking places that not anybody else is ever going to go to. So,
right.
You know, you've managed to stump the Alaska travel expert, you're in your
funny.
Living room.
We bought my father-in-law a subscription to Alaska Magazine, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he reads that. He comes up with this stuff. Well, you know, how about Tuntutuliak? I said, well, I know where Shagluck is and Shishmaref, but Tuntutuliak, I have not been there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's like stump the expert.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's such a big state. That was what I always realized when I was writing my travel books, is a huge state, and you're actually where it's reasonable for a visitor to go is very small. I mean, people say, I want to go to the North Slope, I want to go to Barrow or Kotzebue, and say, well, okay, but, you know, a day trip will probably do it.
I will say this, though. If you're talking about visiting friends and relatives, you do kind of have the inside scoop. You know, you have the ability to break away and do something that's completely outside of the norm for people. And that's a nice thing about having a place to sleep and three squares a day with your relatives.
Yeah. Really, my relatives think that I'm just, that I walk on water. Because I really do. Like, I mean, I know I got work to do, but I drop everything.
Yeah.
And we go flight seeing, we go out on Kenai Fjords,
And then you get to do that stuff that you would never do otherwise, right?
It's like somebody who lives in Manhattan joking that they've never been to the Empire State Building.
Right.
This is like that writ large. You live in this place that people say is on their dream destination. So
why not
go with your relatives when they come up?
All right. It's Hometown Alaska. We're talking about summer travel planning. And this first half, I think we're just going to talk about visiting friends and relatives and what to do with them. And I want to get into some suggestions of some great ideas of how you can, you know, let's get beyond the zoo and driving down Turnagain Arm, right? So, and we want to hear some of your ideas. And I can't.
Thanks, Shannon. Yeah. No more scatological references, I promise.
Shannon Moore is texting us, so stop talking about puke. No more puke for today's show. So anyway, if you want to get on the show with us, we'd like to hear your ideas about what's fun to do with your friends and relatives, or if you have your own horror stories, I bet you can beat the ones we have. The phone number here is 550-8433, 550-8433. If you're out of Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752, and email is hometown@alaskapublic.org. So give us your thoughts. What do you do with your relatives when they come that other people might want to know about, or what are some things you should not do? Jack, do you want to start with some suggestions? I mean, you don't want to. I mean, let's get some of the things are obvious. The Anchorage Museum is great. The Heritage Center is great. Driving down Turnagain Arm is great. You know, there's some things that are easy. But what are some of the more exotic, fun things you like to do with your visitors?
You know, I like to kind of turn up the heat on them slowly rather than just throw them into the deep end. As fun as it is to watch them to squirm. Yeah. You know, the places that I like to take people are the ones that I remember when I first moved up here 15 years ago were the places that were the most accessible, but, you know, kind of dipping your toes in the water. So places like Eagle River Nature Center, where you've got, you know, you could bail out on something that's less than a mile as far as a trail goes, but you could also go 26 miles and go all the way to Girdwood. Mm-hmm. You know, those kind of places where you've got a lot of different entry points. I think that's part of the reason that Glen Alps and Flat Top are as popular as they are. It's not because that's the trail that you have to go, but it's got just so many options that you can slice off of in one single place.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You don't have to go to to the high test adventure, because everything we do here is kind of a bit higher than level than you find most places outside.
Yeah, I remember going on a trip with a couple of relatives a few years back. We went up to Talkeetna and did one of the riverboat tours. And, you know, you pull up, we pull away from the dock. The first 15 minutes, he kills the engine. He says, if you look over to your right now, you'll see there's a tree where a beaver has chewed it. And I'm thinking, okay, this is, you know, not that big deal. No. The entire boat, I swear, we almost flipped over. It was that kind of a thing for people who've never been in a place that even has beavers, let alone bear and moose and these sort of things. So you got to keep that in mind.
And then on the flip side, I'll have visitors, like, come back. They've just been to Denali, and they've seen stuff that I've never seen before, even though I've been there a million times. And they may not even know, like, wow, you saw a wolf come right up to you. That's incredible, you know. And they're always excited, but they don't have the same sort of level of, you know, knowing how big a deal things are. Let's go to Alex, who's calling in. Alex? Yeah, did you have something to share with us?
Yeah, I have two things, actually. One is a pretty uniquely Alaskan experience is Chicken, Alaska.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you make it on time for the tour bus, sometimes you can see them shoot the panties out of the cannon there.
All right.
Well, there's that big fat big fat dredge up there too.
Yeah, it's a I think that whole drive up over the Top of the World Highway to Dawson City and then go down to Skagway, it's a long way, but it is so spectacular. Mm-hmm. That highway is, if you do it in clear weather, that is one of the prettiest spots in all of Alaska. And then Dawson City is kind of a well-kept secret. It is an amazing place to visit. And Chicken's on the way.
And then also a very good experience if you want to take somebody to eat would be the Seven Glaciers restaurant at the top of the tram at Alyoska.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a real experience, yeah. And taking the tram up and walking around a little bit up there. And I've often recommended that for older folks who might not be able to do a real challenging hike. They can get up to the Alpine in that way, and you don't even have to eat at the restaurant. You could just take the ride up.
Yeah, if they're not nice on the way down, I make them walk up. You know, tram's broken, you guys.
Yeah, good ideas, Alex. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
So, do you have some ideas to ideal things to do with folks when they come, Scott?
Oh my goodness,
I mean, you could go on. Yeah,
we have tour A, tour B, and tour C.
All right.
Okay, tour, and I don't really, you know, we talked a little bit before the show about one of my favorite things to do is go east. So we get up in the morning, and by the way, I just do the forced march travel. The first day, because they came in on the midnight flight.
Right.
Get them up and out the door. We go immediately to the Heritage Center.
Take it you don't have teenagers.
well, we did, but you know, I don't care how old they are. They're in my hands when they get here. You know, they're in my wheelhouse. Okay, so we immediately go to the Heritage Center and go through there, spend a couple hours, and get them acclimated, moving around a little bit. If they're not ready to be indoors yet, then we take them to the Botanical Gardens and let them run around the gardens there, you know. And then down to the museum, and then get there in time for Muse for the appetizers there. Mm-hmm. Okay, the next day, we go up to Glen Allen, and then down, stop at the Copper River Princess, 14 miles south of Glen Allen, for the steak sandwich at the Copper River Princess, and the free Wi-Fi.
All right.
And then, now you got to have a rig. You got to have a real rig. Don't do this in a wimpy car, okay? Then drive all the way back to McCarthy.
Right.
You know, that last 60 miles.
It's a 60-mile drive at 20 miles an hour.
Well, you can do it at 35, really. But some people, a lot of people push it. Mm-hmm. And we see those people along the sides of the road changing their tire.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great, great experience. Spend a couple nights at Kennecott Glacier Lodge.
Get a full tank of gas before you get to
Yes, do that. And you'll see the fish wheels there on the Copper River. Mm-hmm. But go flight seeing with Wrangell Mountaineer over the Root Glacier. Go walking on that glacier.
Yeah.
You can walk on that glacier. It's
spectacular. Yeah, we had those folks on there, the Outdoor Explorer, that do the tour. You can buy a package where you can go through the mine buildings, and then you can also walk on the glacier.
Yeah,
like one of the best things you can do visiting Alaska.
It is spectacular, and it's spend a couple nights there, and then back up to the Richardson Highway down to Valdez, spend the night, and the next morning roll your car onto the ferry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and cruise across Prince William Sound and end up in Whittier. And then we don't go to Seven Glaciers. We go to Chair 5, you know, because it's at the end of the day and it's just, you know, on our way to Anchorage.
And you can afford it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. right. True story. Seven Glaciers is great if somebody else is buying.
That's right. Well, there's also that cafeteria up at the top.
Yes, there is. The Boar's Head. It's a brand name band up there. Yeah. I mean, that's a great one. I
agree with you totally. And putting it together. But I mean, you're sort of saying your family and friends are coming. Don't even try to work. Just go and have fun.
Oh no! But you see, I mean, that's kind of that. Your pleasure is my business. Right. My business is your pleasure. So I mean, I'm kind of in that venue. I mean, yeah, I don't do very well trying to work and do that. I'm really boring.
Yeah, for me, a lot of the times what I find is if you can kind of block out the weekends in particular and just go and do the big stuff with them, do the cool stuff that you want to do, and then let them tackle the museum, the Heritage Center on their own. I mean, you've got a great connection. Even if you don't end up giving them a car, you've got ways to get to all these places, so... Let them do the close to home stuff while you're on the clock if you've got to do it that way, and then take off for Talkeetna and go flight seeing on a Saturday or a Sunday.
Yeah.
And that's when I was hoping somebody would bring that up, because I think that is the number one thing that any visitor to Alaska should do is flight seeing around McKinley.
It is so worth it.
It is so amazingly mind blowing, spectacular, and a lot of people who live here have never done it. So this is your opportunity. You need to get out there and do it if you live in Alaska.
Go for the glacier landing.
Yeah.
Well, and there again, you know, as great as McKinley is, I think as Alaskans, you kind of get the sense where you're going to write off the stuff that's close to home because you see it every day. But if you've ever been up on a flight over the Chugach over to like Lake George and Colony Glacier, for somebody who's never lived here, even that is, I mean, even living here, that's mind-blowing. Yeah.
Okay, now you got me going. Okay, 54 miles from here is the Kinnick River Lodge. It's basically at the base of Kinnick Glacier.
Uh-huh.
I went up there and got on a chopper, and you're 5 minutes from the ice.
There you go.
It's an R-44, so there's only three spots aside from the pilot. They took the door off so I could film. It was great. It froze my buns off, but it was spectacular. You land right there. It is world class. It's 54 miles from here. You just don't think about that. Mm-hmm. You really don't.
Yeah. It's really easy to get caught in your sort of Anchorage circuit, you know, you're doing just the regular things and not doing some of that stuff.
Alpine Air does that out of Girdwood, too. You can go up there on the glacier from Girdwood. Mm-hmm. I've never done it, but you can.
Yeah, same thing. If you're just looking for a sightseeing flight, Tenalian used to do a lot of Forest Service work, and now they've expanded to the point where they're doing more sightseeing tours. So even just getting up, turning an arm. And
that's who I flew with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There you go.
So a lot of this stuff is quite expensive, of course. It's not the sort of thing you're going to do
get them to pay.
Yeah. Good luck. Hopefully it's your rich uncle who's come to visit.
Well, think of it this way. If they're visiting, if they're crashing on your couch, they're saving money on that. Then, you're going to spend that much money on a vacation someplace else. So considering a cost savings and go for the gusto.
Yeah. I love the little mind game, Jack. You got that. I mean, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. It's Hometown Alaska, and we're talking about the summer travel planning. The first half, we're talking about when your friends and relatives come to visit you, and we'd love to hear your ideas about what's fun to do with family members. Is there anything you've done that's a little bit unusual? I took my family to Cordova for an entire week, and it was one of the best vacations we ever had.
Did you go on the ferry?
We went on the ferry. Actually, we took our own boat. But But it's a... I've sent other people to do that. I've never heard anybody who didn't enjoy it. So it doesn't have to be the total mainstream ideas. We want to hear all your ideas. The number here is 550-8433, 550-8433. Statewide, it's 888-353-5752. And the email is hometown@alaskapublic.org. So fishing is something that pretty much everybody wants to do when they come here. Had fun with my brother's family last summer. He came to Alaska because his sailboat was broken. Normally, he would never come in the summer. And we went down to Seward, and we really had a good time and caught a lot of fish. And it's pretty simple to just call up and book one of those charters and go do it. And if your family's from outside with you, their minds are going to be blown. I mean, the scenery and the fishing and just the wildlife and everything else.
Yeah, it's like you get the sightseeing cruise out of it too.
I've got to tell you, what really blew me away is I went to Kodiak, mm-hmm. and it was faster to fly to Kodiak. Of course, more expensive, but faster to fly to Kodiak. You land, you get on the boat, and you limit out. I mean, you got fish in the boat really quick.
Yeah.
But it was just an amazing experience. We were out by Whale Pass, and there are whales jumping, breaching all over. And the wind was blowing, the rain was blowing sideways, and nobody even cared because we had the fish on. We were yanking in those halibut.
Kodiak is a place a lot of Alaskans have not been, and it is truly super spectacular and so much to do there. I mean, you've got history, you've got this outdoor activities of every kind, kayaking and fishing, and not many other tourists. I mean, it doesn't have any kind of a tourist feel to it. So
great. And you can take the ferry. You can go from Homer.
Yeah, that's right.
You know.
So let's go to Linda. You had a story to tell or a suggestion, Linda?
Yes, I do. If you have older relatives, you know, besides doing the drive up Portage Glacier and such, you can go to Six Mile and have a really beautiful float trip. We took my 85-year-old mother down Six Mile, and of course we got out before the rapids, but she's still talking about it, and she's soon to be 90. So it's just a wonderful trip.
Right. You just have to make sure you take the right float, not the one that goes through the canyon.
I was going to say, when she said Six Mile, and I'm thinking 85 years, really? I don't even have permission to go down the Six Mile.
Yeah.
I mean, there's right. Chuck, those guys are wild.
But you start out up by the campground that's farther up, so you just do the gentle float.
Yeah.
Make sure to hop out before you hit the
campground. No kidding.
This is my stop.
She was ready to go down those rapids, but they said, well, if you can swim across the river, we'll let you go. And of course, she says, I'm not getting in that water. So, but yeah, it was a wonderful trip. And the other suggestion I have, I took my brother out to Nancy Lake State Recreation Area and did a canoe portage with him. Mm-hmm. So we got a taste of the wild within driving distance. So
I think that's a great idea, too. And I recommend a lot of people the Nancy Lake system or Swan Lake system down in Sterling.
Those are two places on my bucket list. I have not been to either one.
So gorgeous.
You know, the kids were in Scouts. They would go down there and do that, and I missed out on it. And
either way, you can rent a canoe right there at the areas, and you don't need to bring your own gear, or you can do it. There's a place down in Sterling, Alaska Canoe and Kayak, I believe it's called, or Alaska Campground and Canoe, where they'll rent you the whole outfit, even the tent and everything else you need, and they'll drop you at the put-in point and drop you at the takeout to pick you up at the takeout point. And really, because it's a real wilderness experience, but it's easy and safe. So that's something I think people should do more of.
Yeah, it's a cool deal.
Thanks for the good idea, Linda.
Thank you.
All right. And now Roger is with us and I think has a story to tell. Roger?
Yeah, I just thought I'd relate my experience. I just hosted a guy from London here. I met up in Fairbanks, and we ride shared down, you know, to save on gas. And so, anyway, we ended up. I was just sort of amazed about it. Like, who would go to Alaska in winter, you know, for God's sake? But he just thoroughly enjoyed himself, and even enjoyed Fairbanks. You can believe that. And
I mean, Alaska is all about winter, right? I mean, like it's right. Jack London and all that stuff, right?
Well, yeah, it was 34 below zero. My, there's a limit to these things. Yeah, but the funny story is, I had to take a short detour to Point McKenzie because I had to check out this farm, and it was right next to the Mat-Su Correctional Facility. And we just parked the car and got out, and we happened to see a moose and walked around, chased around this moose, you know, because he just got a kick out of this moose. And we got back to the car, and then these prison guards waiting for us because they thought we were going to stay to prison break or something.
I guess they don't get too many people parking out there, yeah.
Yeah. So we just parked, you know, we just came back, and we had been marching. I guess we probably shouldn't have been trespassing on people's farms, but, you know. Anyway, but let's see. So he came here and stayed with me for a couple of days, and I was really at a loss to try to find things because I was just thinking, like, because he was on a kind of a budget. He was one of these guys who just decides to travel, you know, young guy, so he doesn't have a lot of money. He can't go to all these things that you guys are talking about. Mm-hmm. So I took him to Coots, and he seemed to get a kick out of Coots.
There you go.
You know, yeah. Like,
well, let's talk about. Let's
the,
take
it. All the. Well, what surprised me? It surprised me is, I mean, this guy's from London, England. I mean, that's like, you know,
young I'm people, sure, you know, bouncing around the world with no money. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Let's talk for a minute about what you do for free in this town, Jack. Do you have ideas? Like, what can you do in Anchorage? It's low or no cost.
Oh, trails first and foremost.
Oh, yeah.
Hands down. I think it's something that even as, you know, we know about it as locals, but if you're just coming in from the airport, it's really easy to just forget about all these trails that are all across town.
Mm-hmm. I've taken people directly to Flat Top.
Mm-hmm.
Directly. I mean, directly right up to the Glen Alps thing. And then we get out and, you know, I can kind of gauge at that point whether they're ready to ascend to higher ground or just go up to the park bench, you know.
Yeah.
And it's spectacular. Really.
And this year you've been able to do, you know, I mean, it hasn't been much snow. So there's been, you've been able to walk around it. You can also rent skis pretty cheap if you want to learn to be a cross country skier. And snowshoeing is a great way to get around. I think you can get that equipment as well. So I don't think it has to be that expensive to get outdoors.
No, I mean, I've been seeing some pictures that friends of mine have been posting on the social media out at Portage Lake. It's just stunning. I mean, they've been skating out there. And I mean, I've seen them skating. A long time ago, I went skating on there. I haven't done that lately.
Yeah.
But that's a stunning area.
Skating has been tremendous this year.
Yeah.
In terms of wintertime, I mean, if you have family who are coming up in the wintertime, and they're not coming up, you know, for Christmas or something, a good time to focus is Fur Rendezvous, right, Jack?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right around the corner.
Tons to do during Fur Rendezvous.
Yeah, I mean, it's just such a different vibe downtown. There's so much to do. You've got stuff going on all weekend for two weekends. It's just a really good time to visit, and it's kind of one of those times in the winter where you feel like you kind of get to jump in front of the line, you know? Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot of folks around, so everything that you would normally take them to is just that much easier and that much more accessible.
Running with a reindeer.
Yeah, if you've never done that, just go and do it once just to say you've done it.
Yeah, I think Fur Rendezvous is a great time for visitors because there's so much stuff going on. There's no like issue about finding something to do, right? I mean, there's every single day there's stuff going on and they'll get this idea that our town is so exciting. So let's go to let's go to Tira. Do you have a suggestion, Tira, or a comment?
Well, I have a suggestion. I actually haven't had family visit up here, but I'm planning to this summer. One of the things that I plan on doing with them is taking them across the Denali Highway. And for us, we have a travel trailer, and I know lots of people who live here have them, but they could be, you know, rented if people don't. But it's a wonderful drive, and it's something that I was amazed to do when I went the first time because the views are just incredible, and you can just, you know, park wherever and camp, and I think that'd be a lot of fun to take somebody on.
Yeah, the Denali Highway is so beautiful.
Stunning.
And the Richardson Highway is too. We always drive the Parks Highway because sort of that's a more direct way to get to mm-hmm. Denali and to get to Fairbanks. But Richardson Highway, I think, is super, super beautiful.
I was up there a couple weeks ago, north of Paxson, north of Summit Lake. I stayed overnight at the Black Rapids Lodge.
Oh, yeah, that's supposed to be really good.
Which is stunning. The old lodge is down there on the highway. It's kind of beat up, but they built a brand new timber frame structure up there that's slate siding. It's beautiful, meticulous inside, big stuffed chairs, big fireplace, perfect for reading a book or just looking out over the Delta River Valley. And we got snowshoes the next day and hiked up to this cabin in the woods. It was basically the owner, her cabin, when they built that. So we kind of bushwhacked, basically, up there. And it was fabulous, just fabulous. Great, great experience. And I never even knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of felt like I was poaching on Fairbanks territory.
Right.
Because, you know, Paxson and Summit Lake and that area, that's kind of like the Kenai River for, you know, the getaway or Cooper Landing.
Lakes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Super. It's really, really gorgeous. And,
yeah.
And a lot of people I don't think have made it up there. In terms of doing the Denali Highway, which runs between Cantwell and Paxson, of course, it's close in the winter, and you got to stay off it in the wintertime because that's not safe.
Unless you're on your snow machine.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you're going to do a camping trip out there, one thing to be aware of is you have to rent a vehicle that can drive on gravel because most rental car companies, their
They specifically exclude
that. Right. They specifically exclude it, and you are going to be responsible for damage, and it can be a bad deal.
It's a bad tow bill.
So if you think about renting a vehicle, there are a few companies that will rent like a camper trailer or a camper cap on a
cap
pickup.
Over. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or you can get a maybe an older model car that you can rent and then you can tent camp. But in general, I think that the gravel roads are off limits for most rental vehicles.
The same is true with the Egerton Highway, the McCarthy Road.
Mm-hmm.
It's specifically excluded. Now, there are companies that you can rent from, or if you get a full size on some of these outfits, they'll let you take it on there. But
right.
You know, it's, I asked them. I've asked them several times. I called the guys at Avis, for example. And they said, no, the big X across that, you know. And he said, you should see some of the damage that people have done. But I've been back there in McCarthy, and I've seen people in their little escorts and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And I'm thinking, okay, hope everything works out all right.
Right.
You know.
What kind of vehicle are you going to be taking, Tiara?
Well, truck and travel trailer, mm-hmm. like a tow behind fifth wheel or something. We've done it a few times, and it's been great. You just the views are so incredible. We only drove like 20 miles an hour just because, you know, we're looking at the vistas and taking pictures, and, you know, we didn't want to go fast anyway. But, yeah, it's dusty and definitely... off-road.
Yeah, I think it's a lot better than it used to be, and I think that's true for the Chitna.
The Denali Highway is state-maintained. The Princess buses go across there every day. They stop at the Gracious House Lodge, get a cookie. So, I mean, there's a lot of heavy traffic.
And you can stop and hike a lot of different places, cross-country, and then Tango Lakes. I think you can rent a canoe and do the canoe thing there, too. Well, good suggestion.
Trailing fishing and four-wheeler riding, and I think there's even some public gold panning places there, which would be great to take mm-hmm. people on as well.
Yeah, great suggestion.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, we're going to have to take a break here. I've got Scott McMurrin from Alaska Travelgram, also does the KOAN radio show on Saturdays on travel, and in the Alaska Tour Saver booklet.
Yeah.
And I've also got Jack Bunny, who's with Visit Anchorage, our own tourism marketing outfit in Anchorage. And in the second half, we're going to talk a bit about planning your own travel outside Alaska, how to get a good deal on a ticket, and when you need to do that, and what the best strategies are. And also, we're going to talk with Jack about the tourism economy here. How's that changed? And we've just learned that... Iditarod, it's going to be starting from Fairbanks this year. Will that have an impact on us? So a lot to talk about in the second half, and we'll still be interested in your stories and ideas about traveling in Alaska when we come back. So stick with us on Hometown Alaska as we continue.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 9 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth, and we're talking about summer travel planning with Scott McMurrin from the Alaska Travelgram and Jack Bonney from Visit Anchorage. And interested in your questions, comments, what are you planning to do this summer? And also, what do you think are the best things to do with visitors or things that you've done in Alaska that were fantastic? It's a great topic because this is an amazing state. We're so lucky to live here, and it's really easy to forget how many really good trips there are to take without leaving Alaska. So if you want to get on the air with us, the number here is 550-8433. That's 550-8433. Statewide, it's 888-353-5752. And you can reach us by email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So Scott, you are often tracking the airfares, and it's a little bit like tracking the stock market. They seem to go up and down, and I've never understood. I just wish that I, it's like buying a car. I wish they would just tell me the price and I could go and buy it and didn't have to worry about somebody else getting a better price. But you can't do that.
Well, you can. You can. And the airlines in particular, not just airlines, hotels,
they'll be happy to take their, cars, take
they,
your money.
They are happy to make it simple for you. And when an airline says simple, that means expensive.
Right.
So if you're interested in kind of drilling down and getting a bargain, you know.
Takes a little work.
Yeah, it does. It does. And so, yeah, I do track them quite a bit. I mean, I can tell you where the hot spots are going to be this summer. I can tell you where fares is pretty good probability that they're going to be. Well, for example, starting on May 16th, you know, the kind of the price driver between Anchorage and Seattle is JetBlue. On May 16th, you can still get a ticket to Seattle for $197 round trip.
Wow.
I mean, that's really, really a good deal.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And on that date also...
And on JetBlue or on...
On JetBlue, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, Alaska and Delta, they're kind of hovering over the $200 mark, you know. But they've definitely dropped their price to combat this interloper. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, it's $300 round trip to L.A. on Long Beach on JetBlue, nonstop, same day that starts.
Wow.
On May 16th. And I don't mean to just concentrate on that one day, but that is kind of is 2 weeks before Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. That's really when things really start to get, you know, ramped up here. I mean, that's also when the good fares from Fairbanks and Ketchikan and Sitka and Juneau between those cities and Seattle start because Delta is ramping up competitive service. And they are really, really planting their flag firmly in the state. The round-trip fare from any of those destinations to Seattle is $250 round-trip.
Wow.
So that's insane.
So Alaska Airlines has been up here, and have they been overcharging us all this time, or what's the deal? Well, I mean, how can these other airlines charge so much less?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily overcharging. What airlines do is if there's a monopoly in the market, then they charge accordingly. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know,
till somebody else figures out, whoa, that's ripe for the picking.
Yeah, or keep in mind they want to hurt the other airline. You know, it's like spite and malice, Trump supply and demand every time. So, for example, between here and Homer, it's $400 round trip.
I know.
It's on just... Raven, okay? It used to be Era. I still call it Era.
Right.
You know, so that gives you an idea of some of the...
And they're, the other company that used to do it is pulled out.
Grant. Yeah, they're gone. They're busy taking over some of the other flying in Unalaska and Atka and places like that. But those are just a couple of examples.
So how do you find these things and how do you time your action? Because if you move too, I mean, it's not like the earlier you buy, the better deal you get. So sometimes you need to wait for the prices to go down. What's the best time to be buying your summer trip?
Well, if you know when you're going, I mean, you can kind of hone in on that. And I mean, I kind of get excited between 45 and 30 days out. But if I'm traveling during spring break or Thanksgiving or Christmas, as early as possible. It really doesn't. They're not going to really go on sale. And the question is, will you get a seat?
Boy, do I know that as a parent of college kids.
Yes. You
just, you know, from one day to the next, the price will be just incredibly.
Well,
higher.
You're competing with 50,000 other kids and their families and their teachers.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but if you're just looking for going to visit grandma sometime during the summer and it doesn't matter too much the exact dates, 30 to 45 days out is the best window to be shopping.
Well, you know, there. I wish I could tell you with authority that that's the way it is on every route, but it's not. If there are competitive pressures, sometimes there will be a really a good humdinger of a deal, and you'll want to get in there well in advance. Other times that'll come up later, you know, closer to departure. The biggest variable is the competitive pressure. Mm-hmm. So there's real heavy competition up and down the West Coast right now. But for example, I found a ticket today from Anchorage to Boston on May the 16th. for $380 round trip to Boston. Wow. On Delta.
So it's cheaper to go to Boston than go to Homer.
Yes, it is. Yes. Well, on Delta, you got to pay for your bags.
Right.
You know, I mean, now I did find it on Alaska Airlines, too. May 16, 17, 18, coming back on June the 3rd only. So it does kind of, I mean, right. I can tell you, you can follow my Twitter feed, which mm-hmm. is Alaska Travel GRM. Because Alaska Travel Gram, but I ran out of letters.
Okay.
I mean, I really do track that stuff, and that's I use that as kind of a bulletin board.
All right.
I mean, that's one example.
So what are the more, if you're deciding on where you want to go and you're sort of thinking about the price of the cost of going, it seems like sort of going to, Florida, I've noticed, is incredibly expensive to go to. But like you're saying, like West Coast cities are a lot less expensive. Going to a slightly obscure city in the middle of the country tends to be a lot more expensive. What are sort of the most reasonable places to go?
Well, how about Fayetteville, Arkansas for $464 round trip?
All right. What's in Fayetteville, Arkansas?
Well, it's very close to Bentonville. So, okay. Which is the Walmart headquarters, you know, and how about them hogs? So there's a University of Arkansas there too. So Kansas City, $460 round trip. I mean, those are a couple of there. Austin, you know, in May, it's going to go down to about $400. Okay. Because JetBlue has a nice connection there from Long Beach.
I see.
So you go Anchorage, Long Beach, Austin.
So it's all about this competition.
So it is. It is. And you think, well, that's a little high. Well, you know, look at Clovis, New Mexico. I mean, it'd be like $1,000. You know, Durango, yeah. Colorado, it's $1,000,000. You right. know, or Springfield, Missouri, Joplin, Missouri. I've priced them all.
It's just about what. So in some of these cases, it might pay to go get near and drive a car from somewhere else.
It might. For example, Minneapolis. People saying, where's the deals to Minneapolis? Trust me, there are no deals to Minneapolis. Hmm. Why? Because it's a fortress hub. Because Delta is charging exorbitant amounts so that they can pay for their expansion into Alaska, for example.
Wow. What a strange system, right? I mean, what if you went to the hardware store and you tried to buy some paint and they said, well, it depends on what time you're going to paint your house. If you paint it on Saturday, it's going to cost you $25 a gallon, but paint on Thursday is only $5 a gallon.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, the other kind of shadow currency on that is points and miles.
Right.
If you need to go at the last minute, I mean, it's really good to have some Alaska Airlines miles in your bank account. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, I sent my son to Pensacola, Florida, one way for 12,500 miles, which is insane. You get 25,000 bonus miles just for signing up for their credit card.
Right, right. Yeah, and if you use the credit card, then you build them up fast.
Yeah. Be sure and pay it off every month.
Right.
Or you'll be sorry. The miles won't make up for it, by the way.
Right. It's Hometown Alaska. We're talking about travel planning this summer coming up. And if you have questions or comments for us, you can call us today at 550-8433 or toll free from outside Anchorage, 888-353-5752. The email is hometown@alaskapublic.org. And here's an email. I'll be hosting my 7-year-old grandson and 10-year-old granddaughter and their parents this summer. Aren't there some easy trails to glaciers in the Portage Valley? How about the Matanuska Glacier? Jack?
Yes. Yes and yes. I mean, you look at kids that age and something accessible with glaciers involved, you jump straight to it. You think back there in the Portage Valley, you think going up to Matanuska Valley.
There's also, you can see those fish swimming up the stream.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of people know that mm-hmm. stuff's out there. I honestly didn't realize that they had such an extensive boardwalk system back there.
It's fabulous.
It'd been years
yeah.
since I'd been back there.
The 7-year-old is going to love that. That is so fun.
Yeah.
And there's a great little museum there at the Bakish Bogs Visitor Center where you can learn about the National Forest and rangers who can sort of tell you, and then often are ranger activities that you can do. Check their website out.
Yeah, the naturalist walks, all that mm-hmm. stuff is great.
I think that's a great place to go. So, Jack, I wanted to talk a little bit about the tourism industry and what's happening. We went a few years ago when the national economy was down. We went through some difficult years, but I get the impression things are really, really humming along now.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. You've seen a rebound in the national economy, so you've seen a lot of consumer confidence come back at the national level. That always augurs well for travel to Alaska. You've seen a really good, strong marketing campaign, both at the state level and at the local level, and I think those are starting to pay dividends as well.
Mm-hmm. How about $2 gas?
Yeah, as much as we want to, I mean, it means something completely different here in Alaska, but you've got to remember that for, you know, cheap gas is not a bad thing when it comes to, you know, your outside traveler coming here.
Especially for those big RVs that use a lot of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's not to say just here in the state either. The fact that you're saving money on your fuel costs in your everyday life means you've got a little bit more maybe to spend on a vacation.
I noticed another hotel, it looks like it's going up there around C Street and Tudor Road, where there are a bunch of chain hotels already.
Next to the Golden Trough? Yeah. Or right. The Golden Corral, sorry. Right.
Is there still a shortage of hotel rooms in Anchorage in the high peak season?
You know, I think we're maybe approaching that. If you look at last August, for example, we were at 92% occupancy, which is really good when you're talking about it from a numbers perspective. But obviously, you know, you start to get into the limits of capacity. The thing to remember is August is still, you know, that's the peak is 92%. You can't get much more full than that without mm-hmm. having some sort of crazy advance booking.
Yeah, and it seems to me that if your visitors are coming during that high season, you really need to plan a lot of stuff in advance. Your Denali bus rides, you know, it's better to get them to come in May or September if they can.
I'm always surprised at how hesitant people seem to be to come in May and September. Mm-hmm. I think you just get, you know, there's just so much more space that you don't have that really peak season yet, and sometimes you get some really good deals and some really good elbow room out of the deal.
Yeah, it's very true. Let's go to Chris, who had a comment or a question about last-minute trips. Chris?
Yeah, a couple summers ago, two weekends in a row, an out-of-town guest showed up. He'd never been to Alaska. And on a Friday night, we booked, we looked at the weather, and weather looked like it was going to be good, so spur of the moment, we called one of the air services up in Talkeetna. We drove up there the following day, landed at the base camp McKinley. One of the nice things about being a local is you don't have to make plans 6 weeks in advance. So we were able to look at the weather the night before. Following weekend, my sister-in-law was here. Same process, looked at the weather and went and did some river rafting. So last item, I'm tremendously disappointed that most Anchorageites aren't aware that every day during the summer, the Alaska Zoo offers behind the scenes tours. We go behind the scenes at the polar bear exhibit, the wolf exhibit, and to the far corner of the Amur Tiger exhibit. I do this as a volunteer, so no sales pitch here. Call the zoo for the times, but the last several years it's been every day starting at 12:15. It's a ton of fun.
And our zoo is really, it's a great place to visit. I was just there with my daughters not that long ago, and it's even in the winter, it's really, really fun. And actually, if you go out in the winter, you will see every animal. They're very active in the wintertime.
Yeah, they are. And many of the animals have a much denser coat in the winter as well. Goes without saying, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a good opportunity to get pictures if you have missed seeing them in the wild, too, if you're a visitor.
Sure. And if the weather's, you don't have to make reservations. If the weather's no good, don't go. Go another day. So that's my story.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about those flight seeing trips. If you have the opportunity to book them at the last minute, it's great. You may, if it's high season, you may not get a seat though. And although if you go to up to Talkeetna and you sort of are there, frequently they'll slip you on a plane if they've got an extra seat. But if it's really a priority and you've got a large group, you need a reservation.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a huge group, or, you know, if you've got five or six people going up all at once, yeah. I think the thing to keep in mind is there's still a lot more flexibility. As much as we'd like to say that we're packed to the gills, mm-hmm. we're really not. I mean, if you look at what it takes to go to some of the attractions on the East Coast, you know, it's buy a ticket to get on the boat to go out to Ellis Island or, you know, the Statue of Liberty a month in advance before you get there. I don't think that happens all that much in Alaska.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a pretty, pretty big state, not that many people. Mm-hmm. Dennis, you had a comment about Lake Hood?
Yes. I found it very silly how much people like the trip around Lake Hood. I mean, just cruising the road, one of the roads going behind it. By the hotel or off on the other side.
Well, I think it's like it's Alaska, right? It's like the most the busiest floatplane base in the world, and
you know,
and it's real looks real Alaska, even though it's right next to our houses.
Yeah, and it's free.
That's right.
Yeah,
some great turnoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you know, and I think that the Aviation Heritage Museum is a kind of a sleeper that a lot of people don't think of, but it is really a neat place to visit.
It's fabulous.
Yeah.
There's so much there, and you can even take a spin on an airplane, and very Alaskan.
You should see that new, the 1931 Pilgrim that they renovated there. It's incredible. And they, right next to it is the Stearman, the biplane. It's incredible.
And if you've got, it's a great dude place to visit, right? I mean, you're already going to a lot of places that the ladies in the trip are going to enjoy, but this is a place where you can actually go in the shop and watch guys restoring airplanes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're so, painting. They're stretching canvas.
You got to have something for everybody in the party. Hilda, did you have a comment or about Iklutna Lake?
Yeah, I do. I was wondering, because it's such a nice, beautiful lake back mm-hmm. there. You can walk nicely, and also if you feel like you can kayak back there, rent a kayak, and they provide you with a bicycle back there so you can drive all those 12 miles or whatever it is back on your own pace out, which is a very nice trip to do. And the other thing, if you ever, and you should go to Homer if you have the time, and maybe if you have a little money left, go do a bear viewing trip in Katmai on the beach, land on the beach. I always fascinated, and I always think it's just the flight itself is glorious. And I mean, and then what walking through with the bears, it's a lifetime experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you need a little money. I mean, it's not really cheap. On the other hand, it's well worth doing.
It's one of those things you'll never forget. Yeah.
No,
well, let's start exactly. on the Iklutna thing. I agree with you, and it's not too well known, and not everybody knows you can do it. There's that trail that runs along the lake, and you can bike one way and kayak the other, and
the old paddle pedal trip. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's a Dan McDonough
Lifetime Adventures.
Yeah, and it's really beautiful up there, and it's has a little bit of a non-touristy feel. I mean, it really has a Alaskan authentic feel.
One of my favorite memories of traveling Alaska is out there. We were out on this absolutely bluebird day in August. We had just come back from the state fair, and the wind was completely non-existent. It was like a mirror. I mean, you sat out there. You couldn't hear anything. There was a plane that flew over. We waved up at him, and he tipped his wings back and forth. And it was one of those moments where you feel like you lead a charmed life.
Yeah, I love those. Scott, bear viewing, has it gotten a little bit, I mean, where's the best place to go from Anchorage what kind of money do you plan to spend?
Well, there are places from Anchorage that you can fly with Rusts over mm-hmm. to Big River Lakes, which is, it's on basically on the other side of the Susitna down south of Tyonek, and I don't know what they charge for it. It's not cheap.
Yeah.
It's like $400 or $500, I think, to go.
And you can go from Kodiak or Homer or Kenai.
Homer, I know they do. Hallow Bay Lodge is one of them that mm-hmm. goes. Basically, you fly across the inlet and land in Katmai National Park on the beach there. The other thing that I've done is you can fly from Anchorage on your miles over to King Salmon, 15,000 miles. And then fly with Sonny Peterson, Katmai Air, up to Brooks Camp. And you don't have to, I think that's $150, right. That air taxi, 15-minute ride. And you can camp there, okay? You can stay in the lodge and spend the money, but you can camp there. And there are bears everywhere. That's the Brooks right. River Falls. So you don't have to spend the big money.
Or even just do it as a day trip if you can't get a permit. Yeah,
you can do that. They do have that as a day trip. It is a long day.
It's a great thing to do. Something I always advise
Shannon
visitors.
Says Brooks is the best.
Yeah.
Thank you, Shannon, for that shout out. Shannon Moore.
You really need to find out what the timing is so that you get there when there's fish there, because when they're not fish, there's not that many bears.
I tell you, I have been chased off that river every single day by... And I was out there to fish. Got chased off every day by bears. And you learn the bear protocol, because when you land in the floatplane, they take you right into bear school.
Right. But you just need to make sure that you go at the right time. So thanks, Hilda. That was a good one. I appreciate that. All right. I'm not sure she's there anymore, but we have a question from the internet. This is for you, Scott. Person asks, am I paranoid? When researching mileage seats, I'll be back and forth on several dates. When I make up my mind and try to book, all of a sudden the cheap mileage seat is gone and all they have left is the big seat ticket. Are they so organized that, or is this by computer design? I've kind of noticed that a little bit, but things are moving fast, right?
Yeah, they do. And
they only assign a certain number of cheap seats to each plane.
They do. And just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they aren't out to get you. I know that's comforting.
So any tips on how to get good mileage seats? I mean, it's just like everybody knows. You just go look at the calendar and make compromises.
Yeah. I mean, there's a whole science to the mileage seat. And for those of us who look for Alaska Airlines, you just go to the site right there. That's the easiest way.
Well, before we're gone, I want to talk a little bit to Jack about the impact of this announcement we've just had that the Iditarod is not starting in our part of the state. It's starting in Fairbanks this year because of the bad snow conditions. Is that going to affect us at all in terms of what's happening for visitors?
Yeah, well, the way it sounds like we'll still have the ceremonial start in downtown Anchorage on the first Saturday in March, same as always. And then instead of restarting the next day in Willow, they're going to restart on Monday in Fairbanks. So I think for folks that are coming up exclusively to do the Iditarod, you may see a little bit of a different travel pattern. If folks are just up here for the winter and they want to check out Iditarod, but also Rondi and go ski, it may have a little bit of an effect, but I don't think it's not a sky that's falling kind of moment for us.
Do those events bring substantial numbers of people in terms of visitors coming from outside?
I think if you look at outside for winter visitation, it's a smaller portion of our visitors, quite honestly. You've got to remember that a lot of those folks that are lined up along 4th Avenue on start day are coming from someplace in Alaska. So it's not to say that it doesn't hurt for folks in Willow or further down the trail at a checkpoint. But for Anchorage, I don't see a huge, huge game changer this year.
It's all about summertime.
We always love having them on the regular trail, but we'll take what we can get. We know that the conditions are weird.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we get some more snow by then. Any final thoughts for in terms of what you're doing this summer? Do you have your plans figured out, Scott?
Not really. I'm looking at Iceland. I really want to go to Iceland, yeah.
Iceland air tickets are crazy, aren't they?
Yeah,
get over there for really cheap.
Between $700 and $800. I've been there twice, and I really am looking forward to going back over there again. And I know it's a little counterintuitive. People say, I'm not leaving Alaska in the winter, but I like to go in May. It's a really good thing to do.
Yeah. Jack, do you have any plans?
I think I'm not alone here when I say this, but I've been sitting here making a little mental checklist of all the places in Alaska that you guys have talked about that I haven't personally been to. So I think I'm going to have plenty on my plate close to home this summer.
Yeah. Well, I'm taking off for my son's college graduation, and Pittsburgh is one of those towns that's not cheap to get to.
Nothing cheap about it.
So I'll be spending a lot of my money that way. Well, thanks. This has been really fun. I want to thank my guests, Scott McMurrin. Alaska Travel Graham does a show on KOAN on Saturdays 11 to 12. Also, Jack Bonney was here with Visit Anchorage, and a really fun show. I appreciate both of you guys being with us. Next week, Kathleen McCoy is going to be back in the studio leading a conversation. And so please tune in for Kathleen's show next week, and I'll be back the week after next. Pat Yak is the Chief Content Officer for Alaska Public Media. Grace Bojean is our production assistant. Evan Erickson is our web editor and audio engineer. Thanks for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.